Now that you're here, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be here, and we love you, Lord. We appreciate all you've done for us, and especially knowing that as things get tighter and tighter and the world gets crazier and crazier, not one bomb will strike before we're in your arms. And we know that we're not going through the persecution. We know we won't be hunted down, that you've got a sweet bride that's pure, and you're going to protect her. So, Lord, we thank you, and we just ask you to be with us today as we look at, again, this sermon on just how to know the day and the hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're going to look at Satan's Eden number 187, and this is called Being Aware of Your Day. And last week we read where Brother Bram said in Satan's Eden 41, and God proves that to be the truth, so there's nothing else can be done about it. So, men, either they look at it or they don't. And that's the question right there, is people have a tendency just not to want to look at the Word. You know, you talk to a friend about the Word, and all of a sudden they just walk away from you. And so you want to be, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, you know. Now, remember, to look at it is to hearken to the voice of the Lord. But to not look at it is not to hearken to the voice of God. That is what Deuteronomy 28 is all about. Now, Deuteronomy 28:1 says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set on thee above, set thee above all nations on the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Now, we don't have time this morning to go into all the blessings and all the cursing, but I'd just like to say there's 24 blessings that come with hearkening to his word. But then in verse 15 he says, but it shall come to pass that thou shalt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And then he goes on for the next 54 verses and lists the curses that they will be cursed with if they do not hearken to the voice of the Lord. And in fact, there are 142 individual curses that I counted. Now, you might say, well, that's a lot of curses. Well, you know, if you said you'll be perplexed, you'll have anxiety, and you have fear, I count that as three, okay? I don't count that as just your state of condition is just you're overwhelmed, okay? So they don't want to see it, okay? Brother Brown said, see, they don't want to see it because they've already sold out. Sold their birthright to some organization, some denomination, to tie their birthright to get to heaven upon the basis of some organized religion, which Satan is ahead of every bit of it. So they don't want to see it. Then the curses of Deuteronomy 28:15-68 will come upon them and overtake them. Now, this is because of not wanting to take heed to the word sets in motion. Now, get this. It sets in motion the curses associated with not taking heed, which means not paying attention to. Now, remember, if you go back to about 1960 or so, or even through 65, I don't remember when it was that Brother Branham talked about the debt of this nation was $40 billion. Well, I wish it was, because that'd be nothing compared to $35 trillion. So it's, you know, so it's set in motion. In other words, it's gotten to the place where it can't be paid off unless you take gold, which was a quadrillion in Brother Bram's day. The Vatican owned a quadrillion. He said a billion. That's quadrillion. Now, if you take that, you take 35 trillion from there. Well, a quadrillion is 1,000 billion. So then if it would be like 4 quadrillion now, then four quadrillion minus 35 billion would be like a piece of cake. It'd be like leaving a tip of 5 cents or something like that on a $20 bill, you know. In other words, it's nothing. It's just chunk change, okay? And that's chunk change to the Vatican. But since there's about 35 billion here, and the world around has about $400 trillion in debt, well, that would only be like not even 1%, be 1% of 1% of what the Vatican has in gold. So, you know, they've got this whole thing set up to become the saviors to everybody. All right. So this is because of not wanting to take heed to the word. Remember 1956, I'm crossing the nation, and I predict that the nation will reject the gospel this year. Of course, you can look at from 1956, actually 1957 hit its peak, and then church attendance has gone down ever since. And SAT scores have gone down ever since. And now look what's in the high schools. It's nothing but transvestite talking and a bunch of cultural, it's a cultural war, which is Satan's war versus the people of God. And remember, there's many more of the children of the harlot than she which has a husband. So they're going to overwhelm you with numbers, okay? So it sets in motion the curses associated with not taking heed, which means not paying attention to the word. No matter where you go, wherever you hide, even in the deepest bunkers, you are cursed. Only in Christ, the revealed word, is there safety, and outside of that, there is none. So by your not taking the time and taking heed to his voice, you are doomed to be cursed. Now, last week, we studied how that we are aware of what God is doing concerning his rapture process, but are we really aware of what God is doing in our lives? You see, you might be aware that there's 82 out of 86 events that took place or have taken place so far concerning his parousia, his appearing. And, you know, we've seen our final sign, all these things. But are you really aware of what not only God is doing, but what Satan is doing around you? I mean, you can go to the mall and take a look and walk right back out of the mall because you see the way people are dressed and you know, long hair, tattoos, everything else. That's the definite things. But what about the insidious? You know, like in Proverbs 7 talks about the adulterous woman, and she, you know, she does these things and sets the table and does all these fine linens, all this stuff to lure the man in, okay? So are you aware of both what God is doing? In other words, are you really spiritual or are you just kind of dull? And I don't mean dull as if you're a dull human being. I mean dull as if you are dulled to the spiritual realm that you're living in. Are we aware of our own situations and do we see scripture in them, or are we blind to the realities all around us? Now, I'm talking to everyone in here, and are you so blinded to the realities around you that Satan is taking advantage of your self-absorption? In other words, you're just absorbed with self, absorbed with the daily things that you have to do, and not really aware of your situation. Now, from the Anointed Ones of the End Time, Brother Branham quotes the scriptures as, "Do the work of an evangelist, the corner yonder. Make full proof of your ministry, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine." Now, that's actually this hour. "But after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. They go ahead and do anything you want to do. It's all right. We got the same signs and wonders, okay? And shall be turned from the truth and be brought into fables, dogmas." Oh, the awareness of the Holy Spirit, the awe that strikes a man's soul when he stops to think how real and plain it is right before us. Now, I've talked to you about 1 Corinthians 2, that when you get the Holy Ghost, then you can understand the things of God. And you all know that. You're all aware of that. But are you taking advantage of the blessings that come from the Holy Spirit talking to you personally and preventing you from doing certain things? I mean, you could be going down the road and you just feel somehow a strong urge to take a right and you do it, and then you come around, you know, do a loop around the block, and you see on the place where you were just at, there was a bad crash. And it took place and you might have been in it. So the Holy Spirit just, you know, prevented you from doing that. So for a few minutes, I'm going to talk about situational awareness, which we need to hone our skills with. Situational awareness, or being aware of your situation that you are in, is understanding your environment, how it changes from moment to moment with respect to time or other factors. It is important to be able to make effective decisions and knowing how to react to those decisions. Now, Brother Branham said, "From Christ's mystery God revealed, the manifestation of the written word is the evidence of life coming into the flesh of the word to manifest itself." So we're talking about you as a Holy Ghost vessel. All right, are you really aware? And it's not only being aware of the day in which you live, seeing all the signs of that day, but being aware of your own situation and knowing by scripture how to handle it. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? How much more aware can we be than to know our day and its message, to know the plans of God? Well, let me just start by saying, are you aware that the scripture says avoiding the appearance of evil? Do women try to get a man aside and talk to him without the presence of his wife being there to make sure that that woman has no ability to spread a false gossip about that man? Now, when I first came into this message in 74, and then in 70, I think around 76, they were aware that I was called to preach. So I had some elder ministers in this, you know, come to me and say, you know, one of the first lessons you have to learn is you don't talk to a sister in private. You know, you don't take her back into your study, because then she can accuse you of molestation. She can accuse you of all kinds of things. And when you and I ever even, you just sat across the table from her. But see, so you don't close the door. You don't even go there. You actually, I've always had my wife or my daughter, Christina, come in the room if somebody needed to talk to me about what was happening at home, okay? And so you've got to be aware that just for the sake of, you know, it's like somebody knocks on your door. Do you invite them in, or do you just talk to them at the door? You're better off if he's a man, leave him at the door and just talk to him there. Don't let him in, because then all kinds of things could take place. And not just the person. Let's just face it. You might have two people genuinely doing their business, okay? But the neighbors say, oh, look, this person came at such and such a time, and they showed up in a car, and they did such and such, and they were there for 2 hours. What kind of a Christian is she? I mean, that's the accusations you can have. So even if you have a repairman come over, make sure that you can keep the front door open or something where people know this is a temporary thing, and and hopefully he's got a truck that says, you know, our, you know, whatever service on it. But that just keeps you from being gossiped about by your neighbors, okay? And so do you sisters know that you are to be speaking to the women that Peter said let's see, I'm just going to skip over some of this stuff. You know, I actually took this out and I copied it before I did, but, you know, because I mean, I'm talking to Holy Ghost-filled people here, so I'm not wanting to lambast you, you know, for something. I just want you to be careful. We see what God's doing. Now, let's see what the devil's doing, too. Now, we know the obvious things. We know the LGBT. We know the homosexual agenda. We know the dumbing down in our schools. We know all these other things. But do we actually know how the devil can get to you as well? Okay. So basically, God warns a person, then he leads them to themselves. They are a law unto themselves, and will do what they want to do. Brother Branham even said that. He said, people do what they want to do. And in their own imagination, they end up destroying themselves. Now, I know personally from my talking with Brother Vail that he had people come to him and said, you know, is it all right for us to marry? And they were already had been married and divorced and wanted to remarry. And, you know, he would do what Brother Branham did. And he said, well, you know what the Bible says. And they said, oh, yeah, yeah, God told us that we can get married. Well, then he said, go ahead. If God told you, go ahead. And so you know, Billy Paul one time, when Brother Branham, some people came and they talked about birth control. And he gave one set of family, you know, he said, there's a natural way, and, you know, but you don't want to do the unnatural way. Well, then there was other people came and said, well, you know, the Lord told them to do this, or the Lord told us to go preach or something like that. And Brother Branham said, well, if God told you, he said, who am I to stand between you and God? You know, just you do what God says. Well, anyway, then Billy Paul said, well, Dad, why did you tell these people two different things? You know, one you told them they could, one told them they couldn't. He said, because that other people didn't tell me, they didn't ask me for my advice. They told me what God told them. So he said, who am I to say anything? So, in other words, Brother Vail used the same thing. with people, and they, so then they go and say, "Well, Brother Vail told us we could get married," and yet Brother Vail would say, "You know, if you get married again, you know, you're gonna, you know, have trouble." So, you know, these people, they just do what they want to do, and they use an excuse, and then they put Brother Vail's name to it, or they put, you know, they put Brother Branham's name to it, but they're gonna do what they're gonna do. So. Anyway, but if you got the Holy Ghost in you, you're going to do what the Holy Ghost wants you to do. Okay. Now, Romans 1:20, it says that, and even because they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And we see that all over the place. I mean, I had a man come to me, and he asked me, you know, can I get married again? And I said, well, what's the reason? He said, well, because my wife, you know, she told me that, you know, she had sex with two other men. And I said, well, I said, did you know she had sex before marriage? He goes, well, yeah, because, you know, I even had sex with her. I said, well, then you can't remarry again. Well, then he went, looked up in the Bible, and Xerxes, or some king that was a pagan king, had married a woman. You know, he had put away his wife because she was disobedient. He married another woman. And he said, well, see, so-and-so did that. Well, listen, so-and-so didn't have the Holy Ghost. So-and-so wasn't a son of God. He was just a heathen king. So you can't make up, you know, you can't make the scriptures to fit your situation. And so be it, you know, but they're going to do it. So someone said to Brother Branham, I believe every word you say, Brother Branham. And he said, that just means that you can read. You know that? Well, I believe everything you said, Brother Branham. That just means you're able to read. So, how about believing everything the Holy Ghost says? So all these people that talk about gay rights and LGBTQ, XYZ, and rights are they're speaking from a reprobate mind. It is the insanity promised in Deuteronomy 28:20, which is vexation, and 28, the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. That's the Laodicean mindset. They are naked and blind and don't even know it, which is insanity. They heard the truth of they heard the word of truth, which is the gospel of their salvation, but they didn't want to retain it. That's what we just read. So look up where they end. Okay, these people were given a chance and turned it down. It wasn't what they valued, and so they are lost out. They lost out in mercy. And when mercy is spurned, then judgment follows. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despisers, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. That's why I put it in bold. Because all these other things we can see, but without understanding, you can't see unless you talk to the person. Years ago, Brother Vail, he said, a certain preacher, he said, oh man, this person, every time he calls me, he said he agrees with me 100%. Just absolutely disagrees with me, everything I said. And I said, well, Brother Vail, that's because you're doing all the talking. I said, why don't you let him do the talking, and then you listen, and then you can make your judgment. So Brother Vail, the next time the man called, I came about 2 days later, and he said, boy, I said, that guy's nothing but oneness. And I said, how'd you figure? He said, well, he said, I did what you asked me to do. He said, I just shut my mouth and let him talk. And he talked, and you know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what's in your heart is going to come out. Well, he did that, and sure enough, he said, that man is oneness. And so, anyway, so you see, you can all tell. How do you tell? Give them the word test. Just, you know, just listen to what they have to say, and you can tell where they're sitting at, okay? Just like I said, you walk into a man's home, and if you see pinups and all kinds of filth on the walls, then you know what's really he's feeding on. He's not feeding on the Word of God. He's feeding on other stuff, okay? So notice it says, without understanding. In other words, without the Holy Ghost. It is impossible to them to know and be aware of the things of God. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, how can you understand the things of God? Covenant breakers without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Look, they are lost because they don't want to They don't want what God came down to give them. So God offered it and they turned it down. Then God is not responsible for their being cursed. They lose themselves. So don't feel sorry the next time you see people that have that are receiving the punishments of God because they, you know, you reap what you sow. And, you know, the Bible says if they turn down his word, they will reap what? The curses. So, you know, when we look out upon humanity, we see, you know, there's these illegals breaking in and taking over places. Well, the Bible says the foreigner will come in and be the head. You'll be the tail. And then, you know, when it says, you know, that they will be the lender, you'll be the borrower. I mean, all these things that we see that are curses, then we wonder, well, why is this nation $35 million in debt? Because they turned down the word of God. You know, why is this nation allowing, you know, all this other stuff, LGBT and all this other stuff? Because they turned down the word of God. You know, why are so many politicians this way? Because there's people that are that way and put them in there. You know, when over 50% of the nation is you know, Democrat and they are not, you know, I'm not saying that every conservative is a Christian, nor am I saying every conservative, or every Republican is a conservative, okay? But, you know, you've got probably only one, maybe, I'd say 20, you know, the 80-20 rule, maybe 20% of the people are really conservative, and 80% are not. I mean, many more of the children of the harlot than she which has a husband. She might have one or two kids, and the harlot has six or seven. You know, so it's just like, they get paid today to have them. You know, so you get what you sow for. So God's not responsible for their being cursed at all. They are responsible for them being cursed. God is not responsible for their judgments. They are responsible for their judgments. 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, "But we speak the mystery of God, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So the whole outcome of their evil dealings with mankind is a result of their attitude towards the voice of God and their turning it down. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." That's what you can't expect people to understand common sense. You can't expect people to understand God talk, I mean real God talk. Now you got a bunch of phony Christians out there, Pentecostals and Baptists and whatever, and they think that they've got it and they're looking for these things to happen and they won't happen. You know, because we know that many of those things have already happened. All right? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, they're looking for certain things to happen, then the appearing of the Lord. But yet there's an appearing before the coming. They don't realize God has already appeared. Those things have already happened. 82 of the 86 have already taken place. And they're not even aware that maybe one or two of those things have taken place, like Israel and her homeland, stuff like that. But so Hebrews 10:25-26 is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, didn't even say you received the truth, you just received the knowledge of it. In other words, we know about William Branham, we know about his message, and it's all folly to them because he's not a Trinitarian. You see? There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So they can be claiming the blood all they want, but they're not walking they're not walking in the light. So the blood is not efficacious to them. It says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, he's here, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. But what if you're not walking in the light? How many people out of 8 billion people walk in the light? All right? I'll just leave that number up to you, but it's very, very small, I'm sure. Now, 2 Peter 2:20 says, "For if they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. If they are again entangled in the things of evil, after they have come to this knowledge, there remains no more hope for them." Ephesians 4 and 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. So this speaks of a time when we have come to that, to the unity of the faith, which is the faith of Christ, and the knowledge of the Son of God, and the oneness, and the Trinitarians have no idea, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of fullness of Christ. Until then, God puts in the church a fivefold ministry. God desires that we enter into this knowledge of himself in order to come to completion. Now, Mark 4 and 11 says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So Jesus spoke the word in such a way that they will not understand it. But we are ordained and we are fashioned to know. John 10, 37, 38 says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do the works, though you believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. In other words, Brother Branham was vindicated. And if the works are vindicated, the ministry is vindicated, then I believe it. I don't care what you say. You might call him a liar. You might call him a Ku Klux Klan man. You might call him all kinds of evil things. That's your opinion, but my opinion is he's vindicated, you are not. Therefore, who should I listen to? You or the person who's vindicated? Like I had a minister call me one time, and he said, well, Brother Bram was wrong when he said such and such. And I said, well, just a minute. I said, who made you vindicated? Who vindicated you? Well, there's no scripture for it. I said, well, if I show you scripture, would you believe it? He said, yeah, sure. If you show me scripture, I'll believe it. And I said, okay, then, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I said, three times he said that. Because Brother Bram had what he was disagreeing with, he said, God left Jesus in Gethsemane. And I said, well, then why would Jesus say, why hast thou forsaken me? I mean, he's totally abandoned if he didn't mean it. All right. So he had to go to the cross as a mortal. All right. He wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, although he had God life because he was born with it, but he wasn't filled with the fullness of God. And so the man said, well, I don't believe it anyway. I said, well, of course not. You're an unbeliever. Then he got mad at me. He said, well, that's wrong of you calling me an unbeliever. I said, just a minute. I said, did you say you don't believe it? Yeah. Well, that makes you an unbeliever. I mean, wake up, smell this coffee, you know. I just can't understand it. These people, they got such idiotic, they got such idiotic notions that they can't actually have any rational sense in saying them, okay? So notice that the knowledge comes by the vindication, which is the manifestation of the revelation. Now, Luke 21, 25-35, and there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity and the sea and waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake unto them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees, and they now shoot forth. You see and know for yourself that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see all these things come to pass, notice, when you see all these things come to pass. Well, what if you can't see all those things come to pass? Then you're just left out. But what if you do see all those things come to pass? You're in it, okay? So likewise, when you see all these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That means drunkenness. Surfeiting is kind of a state of mind where you're kind of whatever, you're not in your full mind. And drunkenness, which, when a person is drunk, they're not. All you got to do is listen to some people that are politicians, and you know that they've had a few to drink because everything's a word salad. They make no sense. Lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life, that could include all of us, and so that day come upon you unawares. That's why I'm talking about situational awareness, okay? Are we aware of what the Holy Ghost is doing? Are we aware of what Satan's doing in our life, okay? For as a snare, that means a trap, it shall come It shall come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So it is there to affect you as well. But does it? Just like in the millennium, Satan can't get to you because why? Everybody there has the Holy Ghost. All right? Well, Satan can't get to you today because you got the Holy Ghost. You see? So just be aware, though, that he's trying to get to you. He's roaring. He's running about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Okay? Now, John 14, 16 to 21 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." And you know that with that comforter is Paracletos, and that he may abide with you forever. Now, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, what other age have we had where the Holy Ghost is actually in the people and he's with the people? Huh? God has come down. That you ought to tell you, that's for this hour. "And I will not leave you comfortless." Okay, the word comfortless means orphans. "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you shall see me because I live. You shall live also." Like Jesus said, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. So it's not him that liveth, nor, you know, it's not me that liveth, or Paul, you know, Paul was not saying of himself that I'm alive, you know, but he said, Christ is living in me. All right. So it's Christ is alive in you and you're aware of his life. And like when Jesus came, Brother Bram said he didn't bypass his theophany, but we did. We came here to be tested and tried. But Jesus didn't. So Jesus knew all along he was the Son of God. Well, now, see, we've got a message that told us that we are sons of God and we're filled with God's life. We're not going to be bamboozled by the devil. We look at everything and we say, is it God? Is it not God? If it's not God, if it's not God, leave it alone. If it's God, then go with it. See? And so we're learning here what we're going to have in the millennium. All right? Satan won't be able to get to us because now he really is not able to get to you. Okay? Because you have the Holy Ghost. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Okay, "Yet a little while the world seeth no more, but you shall see me because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will come and will manifest myself to him." How does God manifest himself to you? Well, first of all, we saw what God manifested to William Branham. Now we're looking at what God is manifesting to us. We see things happen. We say, wow, thank you, Lord. You know, that tornado was heading for my house. It's not there anymore. We see you do this. We see you, you know, the car was going all over the place in the ice, and all of a sudden it just straightened out, went past the car ahead of me, and then went back to swimming. So we know, God, that you're in these things, okay? You're protecting us. The Spirit of truth is to make us to know and to be known and to recognize the manifestation of himself. What am I seeing when I am overcoming? I am seeing Christ is overcoming in me. Amen. Colossians 1:9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Colossians 2:2 says that in their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Isn't that wonderful? You know, when you're unsure of things, you tend to have a little doubt or fear. You know, Job, the things he feared the most did what? They came upon him. All right? So when you're really not sure of, am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? Then you start to fear. But when you come to the full assurance of understanding, and that's why God gives you the Holy Ghost to understand, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. So when you understand the Father, you understand Christ, you understand the relationship between the Father and the Son, you understand the mystery of God. It's not three, it's not one, it's actually one God, and he had a son. Jesus was not He was the fullness of God was in him. Jesus was not the fullness of God. Otherwise, you don't have a father. Jesus said, I do all that the Father shows me. So, so he was not the fullness of God, but the fullness of God was in that vessel. Okay. When we understand how God used a vessel, he doesn't use a vessel, steps out of whatever, we can understand these things. When we understand that there was one vessel God used and lived in and then left at 33 and a half so he could die as a mortal, then we understand the mysteries of God, okay? Colossians 3:10 says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." So we are coming into the very image of the Son of God, and the Son of God was in the image of who? God. So we are coming into the image of God. We're little messiahs. That's a wonderful word that Brother Bram coined. Because you don't hear any other preacher talk about little messiahs, but Brother Bram did. See, it was Paul's desire to see the people filled with his knowledge. In John 8:32, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and in the knowing the truth, you shall be made free." You see, without knowing the truth, you're not made free because you're still in doubt. You still wonder which way do we go? Do I turn left? Do I turn right? Whatever. But when you have knowledge, you say, "Okay, I've been over this road many times, and I know exactly where I'm going. I know that I'm going to take a left here, and then I got to take a right over here." So, and the Apostle Paul told us in 2 Timothy 2:19, "The Lord knoweth those who are His. He has an intimate relationship with His own." All right, we become one with God by receiving this His revelation of Himself. When we see God's word made manifest, we can take it back to the word and know that this manifestation is the interpretation to that word. Now, just because people might be able to see the vindicated manifestation does not necessarily mean that they actually know what's taking place. You know, the Bible says Moses knew the ways of God, but the people only saw his acts. So they're aware of his acts, but they don't know what's going on. Those Pentecostals living in Brother Bram's day saw the acts. They saw the things of God, but they, by their church creed, said, "Oh, that's just the spirit of prophecy, or that's the spirit of knowledge, or that's the spirit of wisdom," or whatever. And they attributed to a gift from the Holy Ghost instead of the giver himself telling Brother Bram this, that, and the other, okay? The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of heart. Didn't they know that scripture? You know? So they would question Brother Bram on his doctrine, but, oh, when he prophesied, he was 100%. Give me a break. Brother Bram said, in Middletown, he said it. He said, "Don't they know that, don't they know that the same God who tells me all these things also tells me my doctrine?" I mean, good grief. You know, why wouldn't they understand the things of God, okay? So we know that in Jesus, that Jesus said in Matthew 13:10, "It is given to you to know, but for the others who are without, it is not meant for them to know. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, that seeing they might not perceive, and hearing they might not understand." Isn't that something, that you can listen to the same parable they listen to, and you're getting one message from God, they're getting a totally different thing? What are they getting? They're getting something that they're relying on Pastor so-and-so or Elder so-and-so. He said this about that, and so that's what it means. But you're saying, I know what he's saying because it's talking to me, okay? Now, it is very apparent that many will come in that day and say, "Lord, Lord," but they shall be rebuked and told, "He never knew them." And so we're looking at knowing or intimate understanding that is based upon a personal relationship with our Lord and being filled with the Holy Ghost. This word, as we know, it is a Greek word, gnosko, and it means to know or understand, but it refers to a relationship. Like Mary said, how can I be pregnant having known no man? It's the same word, okay? Now, the reason we are looking at this is because we must understand the difference between just seeing something and recognizing what we see. Like Brother Rand preached a message called hearing, then recognizing, and then acting upon. Because if you don't recognize, you don't act upon. You only got the hearing part of it, okay? And actually, hearing, he said, means understanding. So they don't even understand. They hear the voice of it or the sound of it, but they don't have an understanding of it. Now, this word, as we know, is a Greek word, gnosko. Okay. Now, the reason we're looking at this is because we must understand the difference between just seeing something and then recognizing what we see. Many people can look at the pillar of fire over Brother Branham's head and say that that is Christ. They may even recognize a cloud and say that is the outline of the face of Christ. But even Satan, in all his wisdom, did not know for sure if Jesus was the Christ. For he said, if thou be the Son of God, throw yourself off this mountain. If thou be the Son of God, take up this bread and eat it, you know, etc. You see, now notice, he would not have said, if thou be, if he was 100% certain. And just like so many who claim to follow this message, they are just not 100% certain of what they believe. Okay? That's why Brother Branham told us so often that when the rapture comes and the bride is taken out of here, then the tribulation will set in, and many people will say, I thought this was to happen and that was to happen. And he says, yeah, you're saying, I thought this was supposed to happen. Well, this is one of the 82 events that's already taking place. They don't even know it because their theology, their creed, says different. The creed says, you know, it's all about the coming and not that he's already come and appeared. He's already actually appeared and before us. And they will not have recognized that the very things that they were looking for to happen have already happened, and they never knew it. So we see the importance of this knowing that is spoken of in Scripture, this gnosko, because it suggests to us more than mere recognition. Rather, it suggests a union with or becoming one with through intimacy. Mary said, how can I be with child having known no man? And that word is gnosko. Then we become one with the interpretation by becoming one with the manifestation. Let me just say that again. We become one with the interpretation because why? God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So if we become one with the interpretation, we become one with the thing coming to pass. That's the manifestation. Then entering into this manifestation, into this manifested word, brings us into oneness with it. And since the interpretation is the manifestation of the name of God, then we have moved from faith to the word, to the reality of the word, by becoming part of that manifested word. This is when we receive the name and thus become bride and Mrs. Jesus. We thus have been conceived. The revelation is conceived in your mind. That's the life of Christ is in your mind, okay? Then when we have moved from faith in the word to the reality, okay, we thus have become a part of the interpretation of that word, for without a bride, there would be no groom. And as Brother Branham said in the message, supersigned, the works that I do, if his life is in you, it'll manifest Jesus Christ, amen? Now, you all can't be that one, but you can be a part of that with your faith. All of them couldn't be a Jesus when he was here on earth, but they could believe him and accept the message. There was one Moses, one Elijah, one Noah on down. Always been that, but the rest of them could believe it, and they would have had no ministry unless there had been somebody to believe it. Jesus would have had no ministry unless somebody believed it, and Paul would have had no ministry unless somebody believed it. Notice then, our receiving the manifestation as the interpretation brings us into oneness with the revelation. And just as God had to send one with the message, there had to be ones it was sent to. And the ones that the message was sent to are just as much a part of the manifestation of the word as the one in whom the word is being revealed through. So just as much as William Branham was a part of the manifested word for this day, you are part of that word because he, William Branham, was sent to you. You get it? All right. Now let me break this down into three points. One who reveals himself, that's God. One in whom he reveals himself, that's his prophet. In other words, a vessel conduit. And the ones to whom he is revealed. Again, I want you to catch this because this is the revelation of how God has made himself known to us through Christ Jesus, his Son. One who reveals, one in whom he is revealed through, and one to whom he is revealed. One who, one in who, and one to whom. First of all, there must be the one who reveals himself. And we know that God himself came down with a shout. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 18. That's Ephesians 1, 17. That's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's Acts 3:19 to 21. That's Luke 17:30, you know, manifestation of Son of Man. And that's Revelation 10:1 to 2. Secondly, there must be the one that God reveals himself through, that he promised he would do nothing lest he revealed it through his servant the prophet. That's Amos 3:7, Acts 3:22 to 23, 13 to 41, Revelation 10:3 to 7, Malachi 4, 5 and 6, and John 14:7 and 9. And thirdly, there has to be a people in which this revelation of himself is made known to, and upon receiving this revelation of this revealing or revelation, they have become one with it, receiving the manifestation of it. And that's Hebrews 10, 25, 29, Colossians 3, 4, 1 John 3, 2 to 3, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 to 10, and verse 12, 2 Corinthians 13 and 18, and 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, and Romans 12 and 1 to 2. Now, from identification, Brother Branham said, and you're going to have to study those on your own. I think most of you probably know those scriptures that I mentioned, what they are referenced to. Now, from identification, Brother Branham said, a lady asked me coming down the road the other day up here, and he said, it's Florence Shakarian, Brother Demo's sister, Sister Williams and them sitting in the car. She said, Brother Branham, I fast and fast and fast, and I still can't cast out devils. And I said, well, you wasn't born to do such. Your duty is to fast. The Holy Spirit's working on somebody else out there for that, but you don't know the place. In other words, look, God might deal with you that this needs to be done, and you might be fasting and praying, fasting, praying, fasting, praying, and then you say, well, why can't I do it? Because God has ordained someone else to come along, lay hands on them, or do something like that, all right? So in other words, there's in my hand, I got five fingers. I got 10 now, like 10, you know, on two hands, okay? And each one of those fingers can do different things, okay? And so, I don't know if I could have done that 2 years ago, but anyway, I do it now. So anyway, the fact is that we're a body. My arms do certain things, and my legs do certain things, and my feet do certain things, and my head, you know, it controls it all right? So that's the way it is. In other words, they will never be able to empty out their own thinking. Excuse me. Now in Hebrews 6, we see at the time of the once and for all enlightenment in verse 45, 4 to 5, that to reject this manifested word, the person will never be able to renew their mind again. In other words, they will never be able to empty out their thinking. For they have taken the mark of the beast, they have had the awl placed to their ear, and they have become deaf to the word of God. And we know that his word contains his spirit and life, as we see in Mark 4:14, what is called a seed. The seed that the sower soweth is the word of God. And we find in 1 Peter 1:23 that our new birth comes by the word of God, which is incorruptible seed. All right? Therefore, the word of God is a carrier of life, as we see in John 6:63 and 5:26. The life comes from the Father and is passed to the Son. All right? So, excuse me. Now, the life that we know is a very complex thing, and it contains that which we call attributes and characteristics. These attributes and characteristics are what we call the nature of life. This identifiable characteristic which give the life its special uniqueness. In 2 Peter 1, 2 to 3, and basically it just says that, you know, by the things that we hear, the word of God, that everything is in God basically is multiplied unto you, you know. And then I'll just read it because I don't know if you're aware of what the scripture tells you, but it's really wonderful scripture here. And I should have just written it down like that, but I did. Okay, so he says, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Well, if you don't have that knowledge, it's not, grace and peace aren't multiplied. And of Jesus Christ the Lord, according as his divine power, that's his word, Acts 1:18 says, Romans 1:18 says, the power of God is the word of God, and given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him, he says it again, that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that's word, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That's God's nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay? So we see that the Word of God has life in it, okay? And it actually is causes us to become like Christ. You know, we change from glory to glory, that's dosa to dosa, and image to image. So you'll notice that everything we have need of that pertains to eternal life, even the very nature of that life itself, comes forth from the Word of God. And it is this nature that I want to speak on. Now, we need to be able to know this nature. We need to be able to identify this is His nature. Therefore, being a nature, it has identifiable characteristics. And if we know what those characteristics are and can identify them, then they are manifest. Then we are able to identify the life when it comes forth. We see it come forth and we're in contact with it. In 1 John 4:4 to 6 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that heareth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Notice that the world will not hear them, the world will hear them, but not those who are of God. And the world will not hear God's seed either. But I want you to pay close attention to the verse in verse 6. John is telling us that those who are of God will hear those who are from God. And in discerning who is from God and who is not from God, you'll know also the difference between truth and error. In Malachi 3:16-18, we are told that at the time of the great gathering of sons, God will anoint us with the spirit of discernment, which we know according to Hebrews 4 that the word is a discerner. And we are told in John 3:18-21, those who possess the nature of God will come to the light, while those who are not of God will not come to the light. In 1 John 2:18, we are taught that others will have to leave because their nature is not the same as ours, and they cannot feed on the same thing that we're feeding up. You know, it says they went out from among us because they knew they were not of us, okay? And it says, but you have the unction from the Holy Spirit that you know all things. But notice John tells us, we have received a special anointing that got from God that we might know all things. Otherwise, others might be eating from the same table and maybe even feeding off the same table, but they don't really know what they're eating and don't really care what they're eating. The buzzard eats the same food as the eagle, but he can't smell it until it becomes rotten, okay? In Matthew 24:28, we read, "For wheresoever the carcass is," that's a toma, the dead body or corpse, "there the buzzards will gather." And yet we see in Luke 17:37, "And wheresoever the body is," that's a soma, "the fresh kill, there the eagles will gather." So one doesn't smell it till it's dead, and the other smells it when it's a fresh kill. And this is exactly how Brother Bram clarified this point in Anointed Ones at the End Time: where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered, and where the killing is, there the eagles will be gathered. Where the fresh meat is, the word for the season, there the eagles will be gathered. But after it's rotten, then the vultures will swarm to it. See what I mean? When a kill's made, here comes the eagles. But after it lays there and is rotten, then comes the vultures. The eagles won't have nothing to do with it. See, Jesus said, where the carcass is, where the manna fell, the night the manna falls fresh, there the eagles will gather for it. That's the manna for the day, see? Notice, but after it gets rotten and maggots get in it, then here comes the vultures. They can't smell it till it gets rotten. I'd just like to say that's the difference between you and the people that only believe Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and maybe Revelation 17, 10. It begins to smell after a while. But God is taking you much more. You know, He says, Hebrews 6, it says, let us go on into perfection. So, you know, we've come into the full word. We're not just based on a few scriptures and trying to live according to those few scriptures, okay? So no wonder Jesus stood up there and said, "Jerusalem, you that stoned every prophet." Notice that personal pronoun. See, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would." Who was he? "How often I would have gathered you as a hen would her brood, you that stoned every prophet I ever sent you." and from anointed ones at the end time, he said, for it is impossible for those which were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word as they come to pass, they are dead and they are gone. If they have only come to Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and Revelation 17, 30, and Luke 17, 30, and Revelation 10, he says they're dead and gone. The word has come much, much deeper than that. And the bride has gone into the word, and she understands the appearing, okay? Now, as it comes to pass, and God interprets his word by bringing it to pass, then those who are in tune with what God, those who are tuned with God, look for the manifestation of the revelation. Now, Brother Bram said from God, his audio letter to Lee Vail, said, God then, in order to proclaim this, he had to send a prophet in order to inject this, make it real again. Show the people the hour that we're living in, because if they only see it in the hour past, like 1965, 1950, 1956, whatever, the church must see it in the present tense, so God sends his prophet to manifest present tense of it. You see? And then after it's over, then it's history. That's why, Brother Peter, I've asked him if he would send out the quotes, because actually the quotes, if you read them every day, they're telling you what's happening today. They're actually making you aware that it's not just something you said, well, what's the date in that quote? I don't look at the date in quote. I look at the fact that that's Brother Bram talking to me today, because it has meaning for me today, okay? Without money, without price, Brother Bram said, after the taking away of the Holy Spirit out of the earth, that formal church religion will go right on, not knowing the difference. See what I'm saying here? They don't know the difference. They don't know the Holy Spirit, so they won't know it when it's gone. And they'll just be going right on just the same. When the last one is sealed into the body of Christ, they'll still be going on trying to bring converts to it because they don't know what it is. You know, it's like, you know, why would you bother trying to convert someone at this hour when it's time to go home? We're in the ark, the door is shut, and you're trying to make converts to Christ? I mean, I don't understand. I just don't understand that, you know. Unless you think that person is going to be the last one in. But, you know, it says the last one, Brother Bram said the last one in and child trained. And I don't think you can talk to people out there. If you can't get them to believe one scripture, how are you going to get them to believe God sent a prophet? If you can't even get them to believe, you know, baptism in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, how are you going to expect them to see God sent a prophet, okay? They don't know the Holy Ghost, so they won't know it when he's gone, okay? When the last one is sealed in into the body of Christ, they'll be still going on trying to bring converts to it because they don't know what it is. They'll be so far away just in religious ritual until they will miss it, the Holy Spirit, because they don't know what it is to begin with. You see, they don't know the Holy Ghost. But because you see it, and they circle around you like vultures do, and they wait until there appears to be an opening for them to come in and eat the leftovers. In 2 Peter 2, then, and 12 to 21, and in Jude 10 to 13, the scripture tells us that there will be a mixed multitude that will come and join the feast after the fresh food has been sitting for some time. So it all comes down to this. If you do not know him, then how will you know even as he is known? How will you know him even as he's known? Do you love him? Do you know him in the power of his resurrection? Well, I hope so. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we've said a lot today, but Lord, and we've got some scriptures, but the people can go and get the PDF and look it up and see what those scriptures mean. But that way we did get the service done in a good amount of time. So, Lord, we just thank you for these words, and we just pray that we would be aware not only of what you have done in this hour and are doing, but also what Satan is doing, and that we be on the lookout, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.